Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 8. We're going to bounce around quite a bit, but Luke chapter 8 is going to be our focus for a little while. And we're going to read about a woman who has been experiencing her serious illness for a number of years. She's been bleeding for 12 years, and then to have that kind of a problem, to have that kind of a sickness in this period in time in Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, meant that you were an outcast. You were unclean. You could not go near anyone. You were not welcome and unfit to be a part of society. And yet, this woman heard about Jesus and let nothing get in her way. So we're going to break it up into several sections. We'll start in Luke 8, verse 43. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. And to understand the great lengths that this woman went through, we have to understand the size of the crowds that were following Jesus. These were not just 5 or 10 people. These were multitudes of people, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who were pushing in and crowding in to see Jesus and this great miracle worker. And so she was breaking every social law by being in this crowd. She was not supposed to be anywhere near these people because she was, by her presence and brushing up against them, was making them unclean as well, according to Jewish customs. So she was singular in her focus. She saw Jesus, and she didn't care what was in her way. Instead of being alone, she knew that she had to get to Jesus. And we pick it up in verse 44. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." This woman is so desperate to be healed. She's battling massive crowds to get to Jesus. She's not letting anything get in her way because she knows if she can just get to him, she'll be healed, she'll be cured. And when it comes to our pursuit of Jesus, our calling to relentlessly pursue Jesus, we all face obstacles. We all face things that get in our way daily. But he calls us to push through those, to push through the distractions, to push through the obstacles, to push through everything that might be weighing us down or keeping us from getting to him, because we cannot expect him to work in and through us if we just watch him from the sidelines. We have to get to him. We have to stay with him. So the question that I want to ask us this morning, that I've been asking myself for quite some time, especially this week as I was preparing what I was going to say, is this. What are you? What am I? What are we relentlessly pursuing? Are we pursuing Jesus relentlessly? Are we pursuing him with everything that we have and everything that we are? Or are we letting the distractions of life keep us from getting to him? Are we just watching him from a distance, waiting for him to come to us? And if the answer to that question is anything other than, yes, I'm relentlessly pursuing Jesus, then we need to ask ourselves why. So many things are vying for our attention. School, grades in school, family, friends, jobs, loved ones, busyness of our daily lives, all of those things can weigh in on us. But like this woman in Luke chapter 8, we have to push through those distractions. And Jesus tells this woman in verse 48, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The goal of her getting to Jesus, the goal of her relentless pursuit of Jesus has come, and it has come in ways that she probably could only have dreamed about. And Jesus promises us the same thing, that while we will face distractions, while we will face hardships, while we will face the world pressing in on us from every side, He will be faithful and will do what He said He would do. But we must be relentlessly pursuing Him. One thing I have realized is that, at least in my life, and I see this in many other churches and many other people that I know, is that our pursuit of Jesus seems to be centered around one day of the week. It seems to be centered on today, on Sunday. This is the big show all over the country, all over the world. This is when we come and we sing songs and we praise Jesus and we prepare sermons and we practice and we put on, for lack of a better word, we put on a show. Now, that's not to say that we can't worship, and we do worship during those times, but I know my week is so focused on getting to Sunday, all of the preparation that I do. We have worship in the morning, we have Sunday school in mid-morning, and then youth group at night. And then I get back to work on Monday morning, and it starts all over again, another pursuit of Sunday. And it's okay to schedule those things. It's okay to have those things. We need structure, and we need these scheduled portions of our life, and we should meet together. We're commanded to meet together. We're commanded to get together and be together. We're commanded to schedule these things. And we should serve at places like Good Samaritan around the city. We should schedule times to do that. But my question, again, is what are we doing with the unscheduled parts of our lives? Are we inviting Jesus into those unscheduled parts of our lives where we just want to sit back, put our feet up, and zone out for a little while? I zone out a lot, just ask Kristen. We wait all day for the kids to go to bed so we can finally have a few minutes together. We'll be sitting there, and she'll be telling me about her day, I'll be telling her about mine, and somewhere in the middle of it, I fall asleep. And wake up to things being thrown at me because I've fallen asleep yet again, listening to her talk. Sorry, honey. Love you. It may or may not have happened last night. I pretend, I used to be really good at pretending to listen, but now I just don't even bother. But it's during those times, how much time do we waste? How much time do we sit and are lulled to sleep by life? Instead of relentlessly pursuing the one who is relentlessly pursuing us. And I'm not asking this in an accusatory way. I'm asking myself this question. Because if I'm standing up here week after week, teaching our students, and I'm not relentlessly pursuing Jesus more than one day a week, there's a problem. The same for each one of us. Rocky and I are not the only ones in this room that have been called to full-time ministry. We have all been called to full-time ministry. Every single one of us. That is our full-time job. That is where our passion and our resources should go. No matter what you're gifted at, no matter what you choose to do for a living, and you have freedom to go out into the world, and we are called to make this world a better place. So no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter who you see, our full-time job, our full-time goal is to relentlessly pursue Jesus and along the way, share Him with everyone that we meet. That's the Great Commission, folks. I don't do that. I'm ashamed to say I don't do that. But I want that. I want that to be my life. I want that to be my story. And I'm not saying we go around with our Bibles and we thump people on the heads, as tempting as that may be in some cases. I know quite a few people that are popping into my brain right now that deserve a good beating over the head with the Bible, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to relentlessly pursue Jesus and relentlessly show the love that He has shown us. Share the love that He has given us. Had a really interesting conversation with my daughter Sophia this week. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook. But if not, I'll give you a little rundown. She has been out of control, to put it mildly, this last few weeks. One, because she was sick and we didn't know why, and now she's on medicine that's kind of just making her feel better, but making her feel too good, and she's just everywhere, not listening. And so I got frustrated with her the other day, and I said, "Sophia, do you understand what the word no means?"
"Mm-hmm."
I said, "Really? What does it mean?" Without missing a beat, she turned around with a big smile on her face, and she said, "Jesus! You know Jesus, don't you?" Way to turn it back on me. Thank you very much. But I laughed. I'm still laughing about it. But then I stopped laughing because something about it bothered me. Something about it started gnawing at the back of my mind, and I thought, how many of us have that same view? How many of us think Jesus is about what we can't do? Our churches, to people outside the church, for many, are about what we can't do. We're just trying to stop them from living their lives. We're trying to stop them from having a good time. And Jesus is associated with the negative. I'm guilty of that, as I know we all are at different times, but maybe we can start associating Jesus with, yes, I will go. Yes, I will love these people unconditionally, even though I don't really fully understand their circumstances, but God can help us understand those circumstances. And I know when we first come to Christ, we think that the joy of that moment will never fade. The joy of that first encounter will never leave us. And then slowly, unintentionally, it fades. And in many cases, we're left asking, what happened? What happened to the joy that I had at that first moment when I first met Jesus? What happened? Why does my life not look like the life that He's called me to? And I think the answer to that is we have allowed ourselves, particularly in this country, in our society, we have allowed ourselves to be lulled into this stupor. Everything's done for us. Everything is prepackaged, and we are so regimented in our lives that we're just kind of going through the motions day after day, and that includes our faith. And the enemy has used that. He's used that to lull us into complacency, I think. And I think we all kind of fall into one or two categories here. I've talked with so many Christians who are just, they are frustrated with this life. Somewhere along the way, people outside the church, they think, why is this life not clicking for me? Why does everything just seem to be against me? And I've met so many people, Christian or not, who ask this question. And then I've met Christians who are the other extreme of this, who think this life doesn't matter, and they say, we're leaving anyway, who cares? Let's just get there. I think we all kind of fall in the middle of these two extremes. But we need to realize that if we treat this life as all there is, if we expect this life to fulfill every need that we have, then we are robbing ourselves of knowing Jesus and allowing Him to truly work in our lives. On the same token, we're cheapening grace if we treat this life as unimportant. There's a tension between the two that needs to be walked. Because Jesus calls us to be in this world, but not of it. To be active in the here and now. He died to give us hope for the future. But also to redeem us in the here and now so that we can seize every moment for Him, and every breath that we take should carry praise for Him. Each seemingly mundane aspect of every day has meaning in the power of Jesus Christ, if we let it. And so understanding that we need to maybe rethink our lives and rethink when we leave here today. Let's say we didn't have Sunday. Let's say that this church didn't exist and there were no churches, and yet we were still called to worship Jesus. if we didn't have this one day a week when we all came together, would there be anything that identified us as followers of Christ? Would there be anything that people would see in us if we didn't have a building that we all gathered in once a week? The answer to that question in my own life scared me quite a bit. Because all I could muster was, I hope so. And so I am determined to live my life more intentionally, and I am encouraging you and inviting you to live your lives more intentionally, to relentlessly pursue Jesus in all that you do. It was, for many of us, we just sit back and wait for God to move. We're supposed to be moving. We're supposed to be going. We need to realize that the borders of His kingdom don't end at Mount Zion or Decatur or Illinois or the United States. Our relentless pursuit of Jesus is something much bigger than that, something that should not be contained, something that should be risky. And we can no longer wait for the lost to come to us either. In our relentless pursuit of Jesus, it's easy to neglect those that are hurting. It's easy to neglect those that so desperately need Him. But part of our relentless pursuit should be to love with arms open wide, just as He did. Our churches are not the field of dreams. And if you build it, they will come. Does not apply in our lives of ministry or our youth programs or our outreach ministries. We have to be more intentional. We have to live lives that express our faith and express the true person of Jesus Christ. So, wherever you fall on that, wherever you fall, if you're frustrated with this life, realize that this isn't all there is and that Christ died to give us so much more than that. Or if you're just ready to get out of here, I understand that. I do. But understand that this is where we are. This is not our home, but this is where we are supposed to be for now. And that this life holds so much joy, so many wonderful, miraculous things that God has given us to enjoy in the here and now, if we can put it into proper perspective. And another thing we spend a lot of time doing is we spend way too much time, maybe not way too much time, but we spend a lot of time talking about what Jesus saved us from. And that is a thing to be celebrated. We are saved from God's wrath. We are saved from destruction. We are saved from sin and death. But I think we need to spend more time talking about what we have been saved for. We've been saved from sin and death for the kingdom of God, for His honor and His glory, for the purpose of spreading His kingdom here on earth. To be His hands and His feet, to be His image bearers. We have been saved for the promise of spending an eternity with our King. And everyone deserves to know that. Everyone deserves to hear that message. And we lose ground in this battle because of our inactivity, or just as dangerously, when we're active for all the wrong reasons or all the wrong causes. And when people look at us, they see Jesus, but they don't see who He truly is. They see someone who is so much lesser than the conquering King and Savior that He is. Our lives should reflect what He has done for us. We've all dealt with things. We've all dealt with things before we came to Christ. Some of us have continued to deal with those things after we came to Christ. Each one of us has a special gift that we can give to someone else who is hurting, to someone else who's going through these dark places, these dark times, these times of uncertainty. We can all relate to those in different ways. Christ stepped into a world of darkness to save us, and he calls us to go out into that same world of darkness that has now been redeemed and still struggling because the enemy has not been fully destroyed yet. We still have a job to do. As I've said over and over again, we're called to relentlessly pursue Jesus, and on the way, show him to as many people as possible. Share his love, share his life, share his goodness. Sunday is good. This is a good thing. We're supposed to be here together. We're supposed to celebrate together. Sunday is supposed to be a celebration. It's a time to recharge. It's a time to be challenged. It's a time to look at our lives and see if there's anything we need to change. Not to go out into the week and just fall on our faces and crawl through another week, but to look forward to this day every week where we can share with each other what God has been doing in our lives out in the real world, and we can give each other the strength and the encouragement to keep going. It's supposed to draw us back into proper focus and perspective. And this day should spearhead our entire week. It should not just be a one-day pursuit of Jesus. I know for many of you it's not that. But for those of you who are like me and your faith has become centered around this one day, I challenge you this week to be more intentional in pursuing Jesus, whatever that looks like for you. Whether that's being more intentional with your coworkers or your friends, whether it's being more intentional with finding ways to serve, whether it's being more intentional spending time alone with the Lord, whatever that may be, I challenge you this week to do it. To identify that place in your life that's keeping you back from your relentless pursuit and ask him to get rid of it for you. And be ready when he does. These things are going to look and feel quite a bit different. I know that for many of us, there are so many things going on in our lives. So many things that seem to be at odds with our faith and at odds with what we believe about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Things that have robbed us of our joy, or maybe for some of us, what has kept us from God altogether. Maybe you see the lives of the people around you who claim to be Christians and their lives are just as messed up and they have just as many problems as you, and you think, why would I want that? Whatever the case, whatever your journey of faith is, wherever you are, whether you've known God your entire life and have followed Jesus your whole life, or you're just now considering that, you're just now starting to think about it, whatever the case, I pray today that you will cry out to him. Cry out to Jesus and ask him to take those things. Maybe you need to ask him to recharge your pursuit, that it would become relentless again, to rekindle your passion and your joy. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness for allowing yourselves to be lulled to sleep by the hardships of this world. Or maybe you need him to revive you from the pain that has numbed you to him. Or maybe you're here and you're hearing of this for the first time. Maybe God is something or someone you've never thought about before. I want you to know that God is relentlessly pursuing you. And he is inviting you to relentlessly pursue him. Because he has never stopped loving you. He has come down to rescue you. He gave his life for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is peace and unimaginable joy in knowing Jesus. And I pray that all of us would relentlessly pursue him past those doors today when we leave. Realizing that he's left us the keys to the kingdom. And it's our job. It's our call. It's our command to add to that kingdom. So again, whatever pain you have today, you don't have to leave here with it. Whatever is holding you back from pursuing Jesus, you don't have to leave here with it still following you. So I'm going to sing a closing song today, and I pray that the Lord would speak to you through it. That he would pull at your heart and show you the areas that you need to change, or that he would become so irresistible to you that you just can't hold back anymore. And so if you need prayer during the song, please come up to the front. We have people here who will pray with you, pray for you, talk to you. I pray today that you will cry out to Jesus.